Show me God's Word of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, you'll find that about middle part of the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians. We have a tremendous book here before us. It's called the Word of God. It's the Bible, God breathed. And it has no errors to it. I believe God's given us the inspired, preserved Word of God for the English-speaking people. And here we have this small epistle, 1 Thessalonians. We're going to read the first whole entire chapter together. Now, don't be nervous. There's only 10 verses in the first chapter. And so you don't have to sweat too much right there. But I want you to read with me this morning and ask God to help us as we read the Word of God, that He'll reveal the truth to us that we need to know this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 through 10. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in the power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us, and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves shew us in what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Here's just a 10 verses in this first chapter of 1 Thessalonians for us. It's got some great truths here, my friend. It's actually a church that got started by the Apostle Paul. You don't have to turn there, but I'll read to you about the birth of this church in Acts chapter 17. It says here, And Paul, as his manner was, went unto them, and in 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must need to have suffered and risen from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, and a great multitude of the chief women, not a few. Here Paul and his comrade went to a certain place and preached the gospel. They preached how Jesus Christ had to suffer for our sins, how He was buried in a borrowed tomb, how He raised again the third day, my friend. He walked on this earth for 40 days and ascended up into heaven, sitting on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. They believed what the man of God preached, and the Bible says they consorted with Paul and Silas. That word consorted means to grab hands and go with. Here Paul preached, they believed, got saved, started a church, and now we have 1 Thessalonians written to this church that Paul started. And my friend, I want to draw your attention here, if you would, the Bible says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. My friend, this is an example church for us to follow after us. I want my friend to preach for just a few minutes, if you'll help me. And my friend, the message is not real long. If you'll listen real quick, if you'll say amen every once in a while, hey, if you'll just throw up a holy hand every once in a while, I promise you I'll preach as quick as I can, and we'll say amen and give invitation, go home and eat some good old fried chicken and cornbread, okay? You help me out this morning, if you will. I want to try to preach this morning how to be a good Christian. Well, how to be a good Christian. I'm a father this morning. We've got children. I want to be the greatest father I can be. I want to be the greatest son I can be to my wife and my stepfather that's here. I want to be the greatest husband I can be to my wife. I want to be a lot of great things, but I believe that the greatest thing I can do is to be a good Christian. If I can be a good Christian, then I'll be a good husband. I'll be a good good father. I'll be a good son. I'll be a good brother. I'll be a good preacher. I'll be a good pastor. I'll be a good friend. If we can just get this thing settled this morning, if you'll just determine to be a good Christian this morning, then everything else will fall in its proper place. I'm going to give you three things this morning to help you to be a good Christian. It all's got to start somewhere, my friend. If you're going to bake a chocolate cake, you've got to start, my friend, with something. You just don't stick the pan in the oven and have it come out right. You've got to start with the right ingredients. And, my friend, we got three ingredients this morning on how to have a good Christian life. Now, before we go any further, I'm not preaching about prosperity this morning. I'm not preaching about having good success this morning. Hey, having good success and having prosper. It's only mentioned in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, if you read and meditate on God's Word and do the things that's written therein, then you shall have good success, and then you shall prosper in the life that God's given us. I'm not going to be one of those TV preachers that tells you to come to church and do what's right, and you'll never have a bad day, that you'll never have storms, you'll never have trials, you'll never have trouble. In fact, the Bible says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. If you're going to live a godly life, if you're going to live for Jesus Christ in this wicked, sinful world, you will suffer some persecutions from your friends. I remember when I first got saved, boy, my friends loved it. Hey, they loved that Scott Bass got saved because he wasn't going to steal no more, because he wasn't going to curse no more, because he wasn't going to lie no more. But when I started telling them about Jesus Christ and inviting them to church house and getting them some gospel tracts and trying to read the Bible to them, they started shunning away. They started going away. They started saying, hey, I don't like this Scott Bass no more. He's just a Bible thumper. He's just a holy roller. He's just a Baptist fanatic. Hey, my friend, if you're going to live for Jesus Christ and live according to the Word of God, you're going to suffer persecution. Hey, the world's not going to like you. Hey, the devil's not going to like you. Hey, your flesh ain't going to like you. And sometimes even the brothers and sisters in Christ won't like you for standing for the Word of God. I believe Paul suffered afflictions from his own countrymen, is what the Bible says. If you're going to stand for this good old King James Bible, and hey, we don't have a King James Version. It's not a version, it's the King James Bible. If you're going to stand for the King James Bible, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have persecutions. You're going to have heartache. You're going to have a fight. Hey, the Apostle Paul, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. Hey, the Apostle Paul says there's sometimes I had to put my sleeves up and ball my fist up and fight the good fight of faith. Hey, it's a good fight to be in, my friend. It's a good fight to be part of. How to have a good Christian life? Well, the Bible gives us the recipe here in verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. I believe the first thing you got to have is a work of faith. You say, Preacher Scott, what is a work of faith? Well, it gives us the answer here in verse 9. Look with me, if you would, in verse 9. For they themselves shew us unto us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols. Hey, my friend, if you want to have a good Christian life, you've got to have a work of faith. And the first thing you got to do is turn to God from idols. I believe the first thing you've got to do is to get saved, my friend. Hey, the Bible says you must be born again. Hey, that's not the preacher's words. Hey, that's Jesus Christ's word. Nicodemus come to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say to thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time in his mother's womb be born? Hey, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born again. Hey, my friend, if you want to have a good Christian life, then you're going to need Christ in your life. And you need to turn to God from idols. You say, Preach God, we don't have any kind of shrines, or we don't have any kind of statues. We don't have any kind of anything in our house that we bow down to. We know the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt serve the true living God. You say, Preacher, we don't worship Muhammad. We don't bow down at Buddha. We don't rub that big old fat stomach and believe Buddha can bring us some good luck and good prosperity. Hey, my friend, the Bible says you must turn to God from idols. How about, my friend, not looking at yourself for a little while, not trying to do it on your own, my friend, not realizing, hey, that our works of righteousness are just a filthy rag in the sight of God. You say, preacher, what do I have to do to be saved? Hey, look unto Jesus and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for there's one God, there's no other God beside Him. You say, preacher, well, joining this church make me a Christian? Hey, it won't make you a Christian, my friend. Hey, it won't make you a Christian if you'll join this church without being saved. Hey, I just drive you absolutely crazy. You say, preacher, what about the baptism pool? What if I get lowered in a baptism pool? If I get buried and raised again to walk in the newness of life, will that make me a Christian? Hey, my friend, you'll go down a dry sinner and you'll come up a wet sinner. Hey, no water, my friend. It don't wash away your sins. It identifies you with being born again already. Oh, man, that can wash away my sins is nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hey, that precious blood that flowed from Calvary's hill can wash away the sinner's sin and make him as white as snow. The first thing you have to do is to get saved. The Bible says you must be born again. The Bible said, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever, I'm glad it's still a whosoever gospel. Hey, you might be white or black, rich or poor, dumb or smart, but if you're a whosoever, you can come to Jesus Christ and be saved today just by simple childlike faith in the Lamb of God. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you want to have a good Christian life, you've got to start somewhere. And that first step you must take is to get born again, is to get saved. You say, preach God, I'm going to lay down all my sin. I'm going to lay down all my bad habits. I'm going to lay down all my iniquity. I'm going to just try to start over. I've done that many times, try to start over. It'll last for a day or two or three, maybe even a week. And you get back in the same routine, the same habits, the same rut again. Because you can't do it without Jesus. You need the Lord. You say, well, preacher, I'm going to straight up and do good. You can. There's a lot of good people in hell today. There's a lot of good people in hell today because they've not turned to God from idols, but they just trusted in themselves. The Bible says that we should have no confidence in the flesh. There's no confidence in what I can do. I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross and despised the shame, and now is sit down on the right hand of God. I had a little girl come up to me a while back, and she said, preacher, I think God's left-handed. I said, God's left-handed? How do you know that? And she said, because Christ is sitting on His right hand. I reckon she heard that somewhere in the message, that Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Hey, man, Christ is sitting on the right hand of God, lifting up their nail-pierced hands, making intercession for His children. Hey, to have a good Christian life, you've got to be saved. You've got to be a Christian. You've got to be born again. I still like the word saved. I don't, my friend, care too much for church membership. I want to talk to someone, and I say, Brother Jeff, are you saved? They say, yeah, I go down to so-and-so. I said, well, that's good. Have you ever been saved? Well, yeah, I've been baptized in the water. Well, that's good, but have you ever been saved? Well, I remember the day when I laid all my bad habits down and started serving Jesus. Well, that's good, but how about being saved? How about being born again? How about having your sins washed away by the precious blood of Jesus? How about when the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that you become guilty before God? Just a guilty sinner in need of a Savior. And when that guilty sinner meets the Savior saves the sinner. That sinner becomes saved. That sinner becomes saved. That sinner becomes born again. Hey, I think about that woman that come to Christ, had an issue of blood. The Bible says a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years come and wanted to reach out and touch the hem of His garments, my friend. And she reached out, and the Bible says virtue left him, power left him. And he stopped in the dead of his tracks and said, Peter, who touched me? Peter said, you see all these people thronging thee? And you ask, who touched thee? He said, yeah, but somebody touched me. I can imagine this woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years, all withered up and all pale. She come out from the crowd and she said, Jesus, it was me. I touched you. He said, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. You know what he said before that? He said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Before she met Jesus, she was just a certain woman. But after she got to know who Christ is, she became a daughter of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hey, I was nobody going to the devil's hell. But my friend, hey, when Christ come to where I was at, hey, Christ wasn't lost. I wasn't looking for Him. And my friend, Christ knew who I was, and He come to me and revealed Himself to me. I got saved on a Tuesday night. I become from a drunk to a dope head. I become from a dope to a drunk head. I become a child of God, my friend. Old drunk who deserves to die and go to hell. An old dope head who should be in hell today. My friend, just a certain man, just a certain woman can become a child of God by simple childlike faith in Jesus. You say, preacher, what's the first step of having a good Christian life? Get Christ. Get Christ. Get Christ. Get Jesus, my friend. This one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus will last. My friend, that's what the Bible says here, that they had a work of faith, and that work of faith was to turn to God from idols. But notice what it says in verse 3, and you had a labor of love. Look at verse 3 with me, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. You say, preacher, what is this labor of love? Well, it gives us the answer here in verse 9. It says here how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Hey, my friend, I believe in good works. I believe all of us ought to have good works. All of us ought to do right, my friend. Hey, Bob Jones Sr. said, even if the stars fall, do right. Hey, we ought to do right if our neighbors do wrong. You ought to do right if your wife does wrong. You ought to do right if your husband does wrong. The Bible says here, once you get saved by God's amazing grace, you turn to God from idols. Then you start serving the true living God. You start serving the true living God. I'm going to just preach here a little bit. How to have a good Christian life. Get involved in the work. Get involved in what's going on. God is doing a work here in this earth. And it's yours and mine responsibility to see what God's doing and get involved in what God's doing. The first thing to do to have a good Christian life is to get saved, to get born again, to get redeemed. The second thing you must do is to serve the true and living God. My friend, I'm not telling you to get behind a pulpit and preach. I'm not telling you, my friend, to teach some kind of Sunday school class, but the Bible tells us what to do. Look here if you would. Look what the Bible says in verse 6. And ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. It sounds like there's a contradiction here on it. The word affliction and the word joy. It don't seem like them two words should go together, but it does. My friend, how do you serve the true living God? By being a follower of Christ. By being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, my friend, if He says it, you should believe it. If it's written down in black and white or red, you should believe it. If it's written down in the Bible, hey, you should just believe it. Hey, my friend, no matter what else, who else says it, hey, no matter what other preacher says it, hey, if it's not written down in God's Word, hey, if it's not biblical, my friend, if it's not written down for us to learn and for us to heed, it don't matter how many scholarships, it don't matter how many plaques, it don't matter how many DRs and BABs and all those things go before the man's name. Hey, my friend, if it's not written down in the Word of God, I'm not going to try to live by it. I'm not going to try to do it. I'm going to live according to the Word of God. The Bible says the first thing you must do is to get saved. I hope you know you're saved today. Second thing to do is to live for Jesus. Just live for Jesus. The Bible says here that these people who consorted with Paul and Silas and started a church, that they turned to God from idols, and then they started serving the truth and living God. My friend, you ought to tell everyone how, when you got saved and how you got saved by trusting in Jesus Christ. Hey, my friend, you ought to grab a handful of pocket tracks and pass them out to everybody to see. You ought to invite others to church, my friend. Hey, but greater than all that, on Monday through Saturday, you ought to live the Christian life. Hey, my friend, it's easy to live the Christian life when you're in front of the preacher, when you're amongst his brothers and sisters, when you're in God's house. But how do we live on Mondays? How do you live on Tuesdays? How do you live on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays? Oh, my, how do you live on Saturdays, my friend? Hey, when everybody's off of work and all the hell holes and clubhouses and all those places is open, hey, how do you live then, my friend? It's not how you live on Sunday. It's how you live through the rest of the week. Hey, the Bible says, as you turn to God from idols, then you start serving the true and living God. You realize, my friend, you should be a follower of Jesus Christ. Follower of Jesus Christ. Them Jehovah's Witnesses come to our house and they don't tell us who they are. They don't need they say we're JWs, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't say that. They say, we want to give you this, we want to give you this, we want to give you that. And we start talking to them, they start talking to us. And pretty soon I find out who they are. I say, are you a Jehovah's Witness? They say, I sure am. I say, me too. They say, you are? I say, yeah. I said, Jehovah God, Supreme God. I said, I know Him. We got a personal relationship. Hey, I know Him on a one-to-one basis. Hey, I've never seen Him face to face. I've never heard His voice. I've never felt His touch. I've never wrapped my arms around Him. But I love Him so much. Hey, He's the dearest friend I've ever had. He's my Father. He's my Savior. He's my God. Hey, my friend, the thing we need to do is turn to God from idols and serve the living and true God. Because one day we'll stand before Him. One day you... and you, and you, and all of y'all on my left will have to stand before God and give an account of what we've done with what we knew. You don't have to give an account of what you've done with what you don't know. But every one of us knows something about this Bible, knows something about God. And you're going to have to give an account for it one day. Not to the preacher, not to the deacon, but to God Almighty. You say, preacher, how do I have a good Christian life? Do you want to have a good Christian life? You've got to start somewhere. You've got to know you're saved. You've got to be saved, my friend. The Bible says, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have everlasting life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Hey, my friend, I know I'm saved this morning, not because I got a suit on, not because sweat is running down my face, not because I got a good old King James Bible. I know I'm saved this morning because I've done what the Bible said. I bow my unworthy knee, I call on Jesus Christ to forgive my sins and come in my heart and be my Savior. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I know what the Bible says. And my friend, if that's not good enough, when I die and go to hell, I'm going to plead the blood of Jesus. Because I've done what the Bible says. But hey, thanks be to God. The Bible says He's able to save thee to the uttermost. All that cometh unto God, seeing that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. You say, how to have a good Christian life? I'm going to tell you, you have to be saved. You have to be born again. You have to be redeemed. You have to be bought by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. The second thing, you must be living the Christian life. You must be serving the true living God. My friend, it'd do us all good if we pray more. I looked at this past week. You know, this ain't the weekend, it's the week beginning. Today's the first day of the week. I looked at the past week and I wish I would have prayed more. I wish I would have read the Bible. Reading the Bible this week, I read all the way from Romans to Hebrews. That looks like a lot, but I wish I would have read more. Because this is my Savior's letter for me. This is what God wants me to know about Him. And what God wants me to know about myself. And what God wants me to know about my family. And everything I need. Everything I have answers to. Everything I have questions for. Everything I need help with is in the Word of God. And if we just read God's Word and pray like we should. Like we should. Wouldn't you hate to go to a doctor and tell the doctor you're hurting up here in your chest? He said, doctor, I'm having severe pains in my chest. He said, what I believe we need to do is take your gallbladder out. I'll sure get up and go quick, wouldn't you? You say, doc, I'm having awful headaches. My head is hurting. My head is hurting. My head is hurting. He said, well, we probably need to remove about 2 inches of your colon. Well, it's time to pack up and go home. How about when somebody comes to you and say, I'm hurting. I don't know Christ as my Savior, and I need some help. Shouldn't we be able to take the Bible and show them how to get help? Amen. Not just our opinions, not just what we know to be true, but take them to the Word of God where they can pin it down and say, I've done what the Bible says. How to have a good Christian life? Know you're saved. Live for the Lord. And notice the third thing here. In verse 3, the Bible says, remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope. Say, preacher, I want to have a good Christian life. First thing you need to do is have a work of faith. Turn to God from idols. Second thing you need to do is have a labor of love. By the way, folks, let me insert this here. We're working for the Lord, not in order to, but because of. We're working for the Lord, not in order to get more things from God, but because of what God's already done for us. I serve the true living God, not just to get more of His blessings, not just to get more wealth, not just to get more help. I'm serving the true living God because 90 years ago, He saved my worthy soul from hell and made me a new creature in Christ Jesus and blessed me with all spiritual blessings. He gave me a house to live in. He gave me a family to love. He gave me a love story to read. He gave me everything I've got. Every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of life. I serve God because of what God's already done for me. Not in order to get more stuff from the Lord. A work of faith, a labor of love. And then the third thing is patience of hope. Look here, if you would, in verse 10. What is this patience of hope? In verse 10, the Bible says, to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And thank God we're delivered from the wrath to come. Thank God we're delivered from that wrath to come. Oh, my friend, we might surf a little bit here. We might have to go a little bit here. You think about how sweet heaven is. You think about how glorious heaven is. You think about how beautiful and how everything we have in heaven. A gate of pearl, boy, that's wonderful, ain't it? Well, walls of jasper, hey, the street of gold, everything we treasure here, hey, the gold, the money, the wealth, and the health, hey, all that's going to be up there. But it's amazing, we treasure money so much here, but that's what we're going to be walking on up there, a street of gold. I'll just give you a little nugget to chew on right here. Me and Brother Pete was talking about it the other day. Heaven's got one street, and the Bible says it's a transparent gold. That means it's transparent. That means you can see through it. It's about like a mirror. About like a piece of glass. About like a window. And the Bible says Jesus Christ is going to be there, and there's going to be no need for the sun because Christ is going to shine and give us light. Even the Bible says Christ is going to outshine the sun. So Jesus Christ is sitting on His throne in heaven, and we've got one street of gold that's transparent, that's like a glass, like a piece of glass. I don't know if you ever done that. If you ever took a piece of glass and you shined it in the sun, do you know how it reflects whatever's behind it? You ever done that? You know what? Jesus Christ is going to be sitting upon His throne, and that street of gold is going to be coming down as transparent. And Christ is going to be shining upon that street of gold. So you'll see Him no matter where you go in heaven. Every time you step out of your mansion and you look on that street of gold, you'll see Christ. You'll see Christ is shining. You'll see His reflection. Hey, my friend, thank God. Thank God when you get to heaven, you'll see Christ, my friend. Christ is there. The Bible says to have a work of faith, a labor of love, and patience of hope. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready to go to heaven. Boy, we have problems and trials and troubles here. I'm ready to go to heaven, my friend, where there will be no more pain. The Bible said there'll be no more sorrows. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more heartaches. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sin. Revelation said there'll be no more of these things in heaven. But Jeff, I'm ready to go. So when I get there, I've got some family members that's already there. I've got a few friends that's already there. I've got some people that I admire that's already there. But the greatest thing of all, my Savior's there. My Jesus is there. My God's there. My supplier's there. Hey, my Redeemer's there. Hey, my friend's there. Hey, my lover's there. Hey, my brother's there. Hey, Christ is all that you need, my friend. And He's in heaven today. And the Bible says to have the good Christian life, you've got to have a work of faith. You turn to God from idols. And then you have a labor of love, serving the true living God. And you have patience of hope, looking for Jesus. Every day we should be looking for Jesus. You know He could come today.
You know he can come today. Well, we got problems, we got troubles, hey, we got heartaches. Hey, my friend, we've got things waiting on Monday for us that I wish I can get out of, that I wish I can escape, that I wish I don't have to go to. Hey, if Christ comes back today, if God comes back now, I don't have to face a Monday. I don't have to face my trials and my problems, my troubles, because I'll be with King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'll be in heaven, my friend, beholding the face of Jesus. Work of faith. Labor of love and patience of hope. I want you to turn here with me, if you will. It's all summed up in Titus. You flip a little bit to your right. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Look at Titus here, if you would. Titus, chapter 2. It's amazing where God puts the emphasis at. Notice what the Bible says here in Titus chapter 2, starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. Now that tells me today, if you're lost, God's revealed himself to you somehow, some way, so you can trust in him for salvation. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. And once you get saved, look what the Bible says in verse 2. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Hey, it's teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Once you get saved by God's amazing grace, because the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. How to have a good Christian life. Here's your recipe. Put it in your heart, put it in your mind, put it into practice. Have a work of faith. This morning, did you know you're saved? If you don't know that, I want you to come and get Christ in just a little bit as we give invitation. I want you to come to this altar and ask Christ to save you from your sins. And that's exactly what he'll do. If you're saved today, or if you're going to get saved here in a few minutes, have the labor of love. Labor of love to say, God, I love you enough to serve you. I love you enough to depend on you. I love you enough to cherish you. And then every day, let's have the patience of hope. I'm being patient because I got hope. You got hope today? Do you know Christ is your Savior today? If you don't, I wish you would. I wish you'd come receive Christ today as your Savior. I want you to stand with me, if you will. I want you to pray with me. I want you to pray right now that God would speak to hearts, that God would do business in the hearts of those who's lost, that they would get saved this morning. And maybe there's someone in our church service that needs to make a decision. Maybe you're saved. You need to take the next step and get baptized. You want to join this church. You just need to take the next step in your Christian life. I want you to do that this morning. I want you to pray with me. Father, help us now during this invitation time. Lord, there might be someone here that's lost that needs to be saved. And God, I'm glad they're here this morning so we can help them, so we can point them to Jesus. But I pray, Father, they have this work of faith this morning. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God, we can't save ourselves. We can't redeem ourselves, but we can trust in the Savior. We can trust in Jesus Christ, and he'll do the saving. I pray for those who's not saved, who knows without a shadow of doubt that they've never been born again. I pray, God, they come this morning and receive Christ as their Savior. I pray for us that are saved, us that are redeemed. May we have this labor of love. May we serve the Lord because of what you've done for us and have this patience of hope. May we realize that, God, you can come any day. Lord, you can come any day. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. You coming one day. And I pray we get ready for that. Lord, help us now as the invitation starts. That people will do business with the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, I do pray. If you'll just keep your head bowed, your eyes closed, the invitation begins. The altar is open. Let me ask you this question. Would you be here this morning? Would you be willing to lift your hand and say, Preacher, I've never been saved. And I want you to pray for me. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. I won't come to you. I won't call your name out. But all I want to do is pray for you. Preacher, I've never had this work of faith, but I've trusted Christ as my Savior. So if you slip your hand up for me right now and say, preacher, pray for me. I see that hand. God bless you. Is there another preacher? You pray for me. I see that hand. God bless you in the back. You can put it down. Preacher, you pray for me. I see that hand. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Preacher, you pray for me. I never received Christ as my Savior. I've never had this work of faith. I'm going to ask you, my friend, if you want to trust in Christ this morning, I see that hand. God bless you. Won't you come this morning to receive Christ? If you know you've never had this work of faith, you know you've never been saved, you've never been redeemed, won't you come right now at the sound of my voice, as the invitation's playing, and receive Christ as your Savior? Beloved, won't you come now and ask Christ to save you? Ask Christ to forgive your sins. Ask the Lord to help you right now. Please come. Please come. Please come. He'll save you this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you'll come to Jesus this morning, He'll save you. He'll save you. He'll give you a new life. He'll give you a new life. He'll birth you to His family. You that are saved, why don't we get this labor of love? Why don't we serve Jesus because of who Jesus is? Why don't we serve God because of who God is? Why don't we love Him with all of our hearts, with all of our minds, with all of our might? Why don't we serve God every day of our lives because He's worthy? Because He deserves it? Because of who God is?